And this is Hannah. So in the first, in 1 Samuel, we read about Hannah, and this is during the period of the judges. The Israelites were in dire straits because they lacked godly leadership. Political corruption and immorality ran rampant. Boy, it sounds like a day similar to what we're living in. But here's what Dr. Wiersbe writes about that time. This is just powerful. As he often did in Israel's history, God began to solve the nation's problem by sending a baby. Babies are God's announcement that he knows the need, cares about his people, and is at work on their behalf. The arrival of a baby ushers a new life and a new beginning. Babies are signposts of the future, and their conception and birth is a miracle that only God can do. To make the event seem even greater, God sometimes selects a barren woman to be the mother, as when he sent Isaac to Sarah and Jacob and Esau to Rebekah and Joseph to Rachel. And isn't that amazing? Babies are a signpost that God has a plan. And so if you've got a new baby or a new grandbaby, I pray that God would give you a vision for what his plan is for that little one, because these are important times. And the fact that that baby was born means God's got a purpose and a call. Okay, so this is Hannah. She's barren. Now, Elkanah had two wives. Hannah was one and Peninnah was another, but I'm going to call her Penny because it's easier. Okay, so Hannah was barren. And so because Hannah, he loved Hannah, but she wasn't giving him a son. So he married somebody else, a second wife. Now here again, it seems that Elkanah is putting himself in the smaller story going, I want a son, so I'm going to grab another wife. And really there was a promise over this family. And either way, Penny had children, Hannah didn't. Now she lorded it over Hannah. So I want you to imagine this. Hannah's this godly woman with a heartbreak, and Penny is a spoiled woman with an attitude. So here, Hannah's sharing her husband with another woman who's got all these kids, and then she's just snarky about it, and she's taunting Hannah, making her feel less than and defective and deficient. Now, isn't it amazing how when you're in that place of waiting and wanting and lacking, the people who have what you want seem to pop up out of nowhere, kind of like whack-a-mole? I mean, everywhere you turn, they have what you want, and some of them don't even realize what they have. Some of them came upon it with no effort as you've been crying in that secret place going, oh, Lord, if only, if only. Well, for Hannah, there was such shame in her barrenness, and so to have your husband's other wife rub it in your face seems absolutely intolerable. And each year, Elkanah traveled with his family to Shiloh to worship at the tabernacle, and part of the celebration is they would have a meal together. Now here again, picture Hannah, barren, sweet, heartbroken Hannah, around the table with her husband whom she loved and his other wife and a little brood of kids. And so, of course, her husband gave the bigger shares to his other wife and all those kids. And Hannah got a little share just for her little old self. Imagine what that was like for her to watch that unfold. Her arms were empty. Her heart was broken. So what does she do with her anguish? She goes to the temple to cry out to God, and that is a godly response. She's heartbroken. She's disappointed. She goes to the temple. And how does Eli, the high priest, respond to this brokenhearted woman's prayer? He asks her if she's drunk. Boy, the woman cannot catch a break, Kathy. I mean, think about it. We have people in Scripture that we can really learn from that have experienced heartbreak, loss, and disappointment, and really we can learn a lot from them. But isn't that... I mean, I know you've probably felt that way before, where everywhere you turn, you can't catch a break. Don't you just feel for her?
Yeah, it seems to compound.
Yes,
I think we can
does.
Relate in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. So she's misjudged, misunderstood, but even so, she humbly responds to Eli, no, sir, I'm crying out for a son. Well, Samuel is born in the next 9-10 months, I believe, but Eli pronounces, you will have a son, and she has a son. And this is such an important part of this process. Your heartbreak and disappointment is meant to inspire passionate prayer. And when you take your broken heart to God, you'll start to see yourself in the bigger story. But the temptation here is to get an attitude and get offended with God and blame him for your heartbreak. And Jack Hayford shares this incredible insight about the bigger story God was writing with Hannah and her prayer. Listen, God uses the burden of Hannah's heart to bring a surprisingly larger solution to a burden of his own heart. Barrenness was not only Hannah's condition, but Israel's condition as well. It was a season of spiritual need and with little prophetic activity, and God sought a voice to speak on his behalf to his people. Hannah could not know that her intense intercession for a child was moving in concert with God, bringing her a son, but also bringing forth the will and blessing of God for a whole nation. As she entrusts the longings of her heart to God, he moves on her behalf, but also advances his larger plan through her at the same time. Hannah eventually gives birth to Samuel, who would be raised up as a prophet and a priest for the Lord. You see the bigger story there. Something we can learn is God is nearer than we can discern. He is better than we know, and he's always writing a bigger story with our lives than we can even imagine or even, you know, comprehend at the moment. And the enemy's hope is that we'll keep ourselves in the smaller story, because then we'll grab for ourselves counterfeit solutions that end up being sometimes more trouble than they're worth. And if you look at Naomi and Hannah, both faced desperate loss and disappointment. Naomi grieved and spoke bitterly. Hannah grieved and prayed passionately. And again, Naomi later in the story does engage her faith. But as she's talking to these daughters-in-law, the Lord's hand is against me. It really causes us to have to stop and look. How are we speaking about our circumstances? What are you saying about your disappointment? Are you praying passionately? Are you speaking bitterly?